God is certainly good to you and me this morning. You believe that? Let me say amen. The sermon entitled this morning is, What is Faith? What is faith? Faith. What is faith? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. What else? Faith coming by hearing and hearing the word of God. You know, and they're all right answers. All right answers. And we may be able to give a good definition of faith, but like other things, sometimes we may give a good definition of faith, but not understand the true meaning within that definition. Is that not true? We can give a definition, but maybe not understand what does that really mean when we say faith. Yeah, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We can repeat like that. Faith coming by hearing and hearing by the word of God. But what does it really mean? So this morning we're going to break down the words from the word of God, let the Bible be its own interpreter, and learn what it means to have faith. So this morning, may we understand the meaning that is within the definition of faith. This morning, let us pray. Father, we do humbly ask that you may teach us. You being the head, teach us. Lord, may you humbly use me, Lord, that it may be clear and simple for your people to understand. In Jesus' name, amen. How are we justified? Romans chapter 3, verse 20. You know what the Bible says? Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by what? Faith without the deeds of the law. We're justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Now, we need to be justified or made righteous in order to be saved. And it's by faith that we're justified or made righteous, or we're saved, right? In other words, our salvation is dependent upon faith this morning. Do you see that? Amen. Our salvation is dependent upon faith this morning. For it is our salvation. And that's how important it is for us to understand the definition of faith this morning. Because if our salvation is based upon faith, then we need to understand what faith is to you and me here this morning. Amen? So we need to understand. Now, how important is it to understand faith? Turn to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. Hebrews, turn to me, fellow Bible students this morning. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. Is it possible to please God without faith? That's what the Bible says. The Bible says, but without faith, it is what? Impossible to what? Please Him. In other words, you cannot please God this morning unless you have faith. And how many of you this morning want to please God? Let me see your hands. I want to please God this morning. So in other words, we must have faith this morning if we want to please God. We must do it by faith. Now, why is it impossible to please God without faith? Turn with me to Romans chapter 14, verse 23. Romans chapter 14, verse 23. Why is it impossible to please God without faith? You know what the Bible says? The Bible says, and he that doubted is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of what? Faith. For whatsoever is not of faith is what? Sin. In other words, whatever righteous act that you may do, however righteous it may look, or however righteous you may think, whatever righteous act that you do that is not done by faith is considered by God to be sin this morning. Do you see that, beloved? So you may do the most righteous act, the most loving service, but whatever act you do that's not done by faith, the Bible says, is sin this morning. And sin displeases God. Does sin displease God this morning? Amen. And that is why if sin displeases God, and whatever you do without faith is sin, then that's why whatever is not of faith displeases God. Do you see that? So you gotta have faith this morning, beloved, in order to please God. You gotta have faith so that your works won't be wickedness and sin this morning. But if you have faith, it will produce truly righteous works that will please God this morning. Amen? And we want to please God, like you just said earlier. So, do we need faith this morning? Amen? We need faith this morning. I'm going to look at this yellow paper here from Ellen G. White, Review and Herald, October 18, 1898. It says here, "The knowledge of what the Scripture means when urging upon us the necessity of cultivating faith is more essential than any other knowledge that can be acquired." Amen? In other words, faith, our understanding, our knowledge of faith is more important than any other knowledge that can be acquired. Why? Because if you do whatever you do in life, if it's not done in faith, it's still sin. That's why. Do you see that, beloved? That's why the knowledge of faith is more important than any other knowledge that you can get. That's how important faith is this morning. It says the knowledge of cultivating faith. Now, we can't cultivate faith if we don't even know what faith is this morning. So we have to learn from the Word of God what is faith. This is how important faith is. And so now that we know the importance of faith and hope it stirred you a little bit, now we can learn and discern from the Word of God through His Holy Spirit what is faith this morning. So turn me to the Bible, to Matthew chapter 8, verse 5, to a story here that interprets, actually gives a definition of faith. Matthew chapter 8, verse 5. What's going on in this story? Notice what the Bible says here. "And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him." So this Roman soldier, officer, came to Jesus and pleaded with him. What did he plead with him for? Verse 6. Let's see what the Bible says. "And saying, Lord, my servant lies at home sick of the palsy." He's paralyzed at home. He's sick. "Grievously tormented. Very gravely ill and sick. In pain." So you tell him that's what's happening to Jesus. Now, what did Jesus say to the centurion? Notice what the Bible says in verse 7. It says, "And Jesus said unto him, I will" what? "I will go unto him," or "I will come and heal him." So I will go to his house, I will go to your house where your servant is, right? "And I will heal your servant." Right? Amen. Praise God. But I want you to notice, what did the centurion ask Jesus to do instead? Look at verse 8 and 9, the Bible says here. "The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou should come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it." In other words, he told Jesus, don't come to my house, but instead, he asked Jesus to what? Speak the word, what? Only, and his servant will be what? Healed. Don't come to my house, we don't need your presence. All we want is for you, Jesus, to what? Speak the what? Word, what? Only. Remember that word, only. We're going to come back to that. Speak the word only, and his servant will be healed. Now, what did Jesus then say about the centurion? Look at verse 10. Notice what the Bible says here. "When Jesus heard it, he" what? "Marveled." He was amazed. "And said to them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great" what? "Faith." No, not in what? Israel. In amazement, Jesus said he found no faith in all of Israel. Now, what was it that Jesus considered that this centurion did that was of so great faith this morning? Okay, let's recap. The centurion went to Jesus. He wanted a certain thing done, right? And he wanted Jesus to do it. But when Jesus said, "I will come and do it," the centurion stopped him and said, "No, don't come to my house." But instead, he said, "Speak the what? Word only, and my what servant will be healed." Now, what was it that the centurion expected would do the work of healing his servant? What was it? The word. The word and something else? The word what? What the Bible say, beloved? The word what? The Bible says the word what? Only. And beloved, this is what Jesus says is what? Faith this morning. He said, there's nothing so great a faith as this man. What did this man do? He said, "Don't come to my house, just speak the what? The word only." And Jesus said, this is not only faith, but this is great faith. This man had great faith. So what is faith according to the Bible? I want you to look at this quotation here, the second one. Faith is depending upon the word of God only, not only depending in two parts, but expecting that word what? Only to do what it, the word says, it would do this morning. Amen? That is faith this morning. Faith is believing in the word of God only, expecting that word only to do what it says it would do. When you say it with me, so you kind of get in your mind. Faith is depending upon the word of God only and expecting that word only to do what it says it will do this morning. Amen? Now, did the centurion believe that Jesus' presence would heal his servant? Not according to his story. He didn't believe his presence. Jesus said, "I'll give you my presence and come to your house." What did he tell him? No. He told him no. He didn't believe in the presence of Jesus healing his servant. He said, "No, all I want from you is to speak the what? Word what? Only, not the word and your presence, but the word what? Only this morning." Did the centurion ask Jesus to tell him? Did the centurion want Jesus to tell him what he needed to do so that he could go and heal his servant? No. He said, "I don't want you to come at all. Just speak the word only." Did the centurion ask Jesus to tell him what he needed to do so that he could do it in God's strength to heal his servant? Are you following me, beloved? No. He said, don't come. With all your presence, what I really want is for you to speak the what? The word. Only. It's not my words, beloved. It's the Bible's words. Amen? The word only. The centurion believed that it was the word of God and the word of God only that was able to heal his servant. And it is this that Jesus called great faith this morning. Do you see that, beloved? Great faith is believing in the word of God only and expecting that word of God only to accomplish what it says it would do. So let's look at the power of the word this morning. Turn to Psalm chapter 33, verse 6. And you can see the whole Bible, this correlates in this whole story that Jesus talked about and actually with his own words spoke about. Psalms 33, verse 6. How did God create the heavens and the earth? Notice what the Bible says here. The Bible says, not Pastor Keala, but the Bible says this morning, by the what? Word of the Lord were the what? Heavens made. And all the hosts of them by the breath of His mouth. So how was all the hosts and the heavens were and the earth were made? How was it made, beloved, this morning? How was it made? By the word of God only this morning. You see, creation teaches what we just learned about faith. That it was the Word of God only that is able to do what it says it will do this morning. You see that, beloved? All the creation, all it does is it teaches that the Word of God and the Word of God only is the only thing that can create this morning. Now turn with me to Psalm 33 verse 9. Psalm 33 verse 9, a few verses down. Notice what the Bible says here. Before something existed, what first had to happen? The Bible says here, for He what? Spake, and it was what? Done. He commanded, and it what? Stood fast this morning. Before God spoke, and with speaking there must be words. Are you following me? Before He spoke, it was not. But after He spoke, the Bible says, it was. In order for something to exist, God must speak this morning. There must be words this morning. Do you see that, beloved? In order for anything to be created, God must speak this morning. Now let's study from the Bible about the Word. Look at your paper right here. And let's look at John chapter 1, verse 14 about the Word. The Bible says, and the Word was made what? Flesh. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory. Whose glory? It goes on. The glory as of the only what? Begotten of the Father. So, this Word's glory is the same thing as the only begotten of the Father. Now, who is the only begotten of the Father? Well, let's turn to, I'd like to go text to text to make sure it's clear. John 3:16. It says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten, who? Son. So when the Bible is talking about only begotten, it's talking about the Son. So it's talking about Jesus. So the Word made flesh is actually Jesus made flesh, right? So the Word is Jesus. Do you see that? Okay, now we go down to Ephesians 3 verse 9. And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world has been hid in God, God the Father, who created all things by Jesus Christ. So, was there anything that was created that was not done by Jesus Christ? Okay. God who created some things. That's what the Bible says? God who created most things by Jesus Christ. The Bible says, God the Father who created all things by the Word. In other words, there wasn't anything that was ever created that was not done through the Word. Are you following me, beloved? Because Jesus is the Word, we just learned. So the whole world, the heavens, everything that was ever created was only done through the Word. I'm making a point here, because we're going to get back to it. The only thing that can create is the Word, and that has ever created is only the Word. Nothing else has the creative power to do it. God's presence was not what it was that created. It was not His presence, beloved. God's thoughts was not what it was that created, according to the Bible, all things. The only thing that created, has all any power to create, is the Word this morning. Amen? The Word. When there was darkness, God said. When you say something, what comes out of your mouth? Words. That's why when there was darkness, God said, let there be light, and there was light. Now, where did this light come from? It came from the spoken Word, which by itself produced the light. Do you see that? When there was no atmosphere, God said a word, right? God said, let there be firmament, and it was so. What caused it to come to pass? The Word only. He spoke and it was so. The Word spoken caused the very thing to exist. God desired dry land. How could God do this? Again, God spoke. God said, let the dry land appear. And it was so. Do you see that? When there's no vegetation, where should this come from? Again, God spoke and God said, the Bible says. Words came out. Let the earth bring forth grass. This is God's words. And it was so, the Bible says. Again he spoke, and God said, let there be lights in the firmament of heaven, and it was so. Again he spoke, God said, let the earth bring forth a living creature, and it was so. It was by the word of the Lord that all things were created this morning. He spoke the word only, and it was so. Amen? As it was in creation, so was it in redemption. For He healed the sick, beloved, with His word. He cast out the devils with His word. He stilled the tempest. He cleansed the lepers. He raised the dead. He forgave the sins. And it was all in these things also that He spoke. And it was, the Bible says. And the Bible says that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And today He still does things by the divine power of His word today. And because He is still the creator of the universe, He is still able to do many mighty and powerful things within your life and in my life through the word of God and the word of God only, if you would only believe this morning. Amen? Within your hands right here, beloved, is the creative power of God that created the heavens and the earth this morning. Amen? Within your hands this morning is the power to transform and to change and to make you a new person. That is the creative power of the Word, if you would only believe this morning. We do not realize what we've got within our hands, how precious it really is this morning. The Word of God this morning is powerful, more powerful than we realize. Now, what is it that God cannot do? Is there anything that God cannot do? What is it that God cannot do? You guys are very good students. Praise God. Titus chapter 1, verse 2. I should have stood down. You guys are very good. You know your text. You know your Bibles. Titus chapter 1, verse 2. Titus chapter 1, before Hebrews. Chapter 1, verse 2. What is it that God cannot do this morning? Notice the Bible says here, in hope of eternal life with God, you think about it, you think, God, can I do something? But notice what it says. With God that cannot, what? Lie. Promised before the world began. It is impossible for God to lie this morning. Amen? God cannot lie this morning. And not only because He will not lie, but because He cannot lie this morning. Amen? And the reason why it's impossible for God to lie is because when He speaks, the creative energy that is within that very word creates the very thing that is spoken. In other words, this is the word light. When that word, the breath of God, right? When that word light comes out of God's mouth, inside of that word is creative energy of light. So the moment it comes out, it becomes the very thing that is spoken. Are you seeing? So that's why God cannot lie, because the very word it says will become the actual reality. We may lie. I may say I'm going to the beach, but I may not go to the beach. My word may not come true, and thus I'm a liar. But God's word, as soon as it comes out, accomplishes what it says it would do this morning. Genesis 1:27. Look at it right here. Let's go a little bit more into this. Genesis 1:27 in yellow papers. What were we created into? The Bible says, so God created man in His own what? Image. In other words, we were made in the likeness or the semblance of God. Right? There is an experiment done by Mrs. Watts Hughes. How many of you heard about this? They use an idophone which created voice figures. Let me tell you how it works. They had this tube that a singer would sing a word. They gave him a word like la. They'd sing a word, la, and sing it. And that vibrations in that wind of the voice and the agitations had these little speckles on his long tube and maybe sand particles. It would shoot it up with the air. And then at the end of this tube, there was actually a wall that had glue or sticky substance on the end. So it was scattered up, agitated up, it would go up, and it would splat everything on the wall. Now you think that at the end of this, when they sing a word like day, that it would just go there and make a total mess. But notice what happened. This is actually voice figures here. When they sang the word like, say, la, what happened is all these parliaments would shoot up into the air and agitate it, and it would hit that wall, and out would come a form of a fern. Are you seeing that? A form of a fern. The next one, they sing another one, day, and out would come out, and it is agitated, it hit the wall, and it actually, this is the actual pictures, beloved, actually. The actual pictures that they took after this experiment. The form of a daisy. Are you seeing that? Okay, the next page, look on the other one. You're seeing another word. Like sun, right? And it goes, a pansy would form. And then the other one is saying, like, say, sky. Oh, I'm just making an example. And all that would come up would be a landscape form. You see the rocks and the trees and do you see that? You see, beloved, in our breath, we were made in the image of God. In our breath is only the form of living things. Do you see that? We're made in the image, likeness of God. So when we speak our words, it creates a form of what creation looks like. Are you seeing that, beloved? But does it have any power? There's no power in this. It's only a form. But the breath of God, there is the very living things themselves this morning. Amen? For He is the living God, and with Him is the fountain of life. And when God speaks, the very word which names the thing contains the very thing itself this morning. Amen? And whatever the word of God describes exists in living form inside of that very word. You see, we have only the likeness of God, but God is the very substance of God this morning. We have only the form of godliness, but God is very the power for the power of godliness this morning. Amen? And this is how it is impossible for God to lie. Simply because when God calls a thing by name and says that thing will be, it already exists, even though it cannot be seen. For the thing is within His word. For His word is divine. His word is creative energy. His word is living and powerful. His word is self-fulfilling. And to trust it and to depend upon it is what it means to exercise faith this morning. Amen? What does the word say it would do? Turn to Isaiah 55 verse 10. Isaiah 55 verse 10. What does the word say it would do? Isaiah chapter 55 verse 10 and 11. The Bible says, for as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and returns not thither, but waters the earth and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eaters. So in other words, the rain comes down. It accomplishes its purpose. It waters the earth. It makes the plants to bud, to bring fruit, to give seed to the sower. So when rain comes down, God makes sure that the rain accomplishes what it's sent to do. It quenches our thirst. And notice what it says here in verse 11. So shall, in other words, in the exact same way, my word be that goes forth out of my mouth, God is saying. It shall not return unto me void or empty handed. So just like the water accomplishes what it says it will do. But my word will go out of my mouth, but it, my word, shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. So in other words, just like the rain is sent out and accomplishes what it says it will do, it's beautiful out there because of the rain. God says, my word, when it goes out, it will accomplish what it says it will do. Now there are counterfeit definitions of faith. Look at your paper right here. Now, faith is believing in the Word of God and expecting the Word only to accomplish what it says it will do. Note the counterfeit. Faith, and this is what I used to believe in all three of them, actually. Faith is believing in God only. Not in His Word, but just in God, that there's a God. And expecting the mysterious presence of God to do something. But faith is not believing some nebulous God that is out there who might do something if you pray hard enough. Faith is believing in something substantial. And that something substantial, beloved, is the Word of God that tells you that there is a God. Are you following me? That's the substantial. I just believe, oh, I just got to pray more and love God. I don't need a Bible. I just need to love God. But faith is substantial. You have to believe in the Word. And the Word only. Amen? Counterfeit 2. Faith is believing in the Word of God only and you doing what the Word of God says. Faith is not you doing what the Word of God says. It is impossible for you this morning to accomplish what the divine creative power of the Word of God says this morning. Are you following me? The creative power of God's Word created the heavens. Light, light. You cannot create this morning, beloved. You cannot create. It was the Word and the Word of God only. Counterfeit 3. Faith is believing in the Word of God only and you doing with God's strength what the Word of God says. Faith is not you doing with God's strength what the Word says, but instead, it is the Word only without you involved that accomplishes what it says it will do. You are not there with God when He created the heavens and the earth. And you are not there either in God when He creates within you a new heart. For all that you can do is surrender to the Word and allow it, the Word, to accomplish what it says they would do in your life this morning. Amen? I used to believe, I look at the Word, oh, thou shalt not steal. I should not steal. I'm going to try, I'm going to do the Word and not steal. That's your own works, beloved, this morning. You allow the creative power of God's Word to submit to the Word this morning. Submit and surrender. And we actually, we take the word submit and we take the word surrender and we make it, we redefine it and make it as a word that's something we got to do. Submit to God means that you have to do what God says to do. But submit and surrender means that if I'm in a fort and they're attacking me, the cowboys, and they're attacking us, you want to hear the Indians, but I'm saying the cowboys attacking us. And they're surrounding us, right? And here we are in this fort, safe and secure. And we finally surrender. That means what we're saying is, okay, we surrender. We're allowing you to do whatever you want to do with us. Are you following me? So when you surrender to the Word, what you're saying is, submit to the Word, you're saying is, okay, Lord, I'm tired of trying to accomplish what this Word says that I should be doing. Are you following me? And I surrender to the Word. Therefore, I allow you to accomplish the Word, to accomplish what it says they would do in my life. And I surrender. Humility. I cannot do it this morning. And that's why you have people who believe that they don't need to study the Bible. And they can do whatever they want. Who are cheap grace, don't believe in obedience. So they don't need to study the Word. And then there's two groups. Remember we studied about these two groups who want to be obedient? There's one group here by works who believe that what the Word of God says, thou shalt not murder or thou shalt not commit adultery, I'm going to do it in my own strength. That's works. The other path is this, which is 95% of people follow this route I see. They try and accomplish themselves what the Word says to do. Right? Have you not been there? And then a few percent figured out to be obedient, yes, but allowing the Word of God only, the creative power, to accomplish within my life what it said it would do within my life, beloved, this morning. Amen? That is the gospel here this morning. I give you practical examples. If you have a stormy, stressed out, unsettled heart as the waves of the sea, you go to the Scripture, you bring it from memory, and it says, be still and know that I'm God. You don't try to do and be, don't try to be still, but you surrender to the Word right there. Be still and know that I'm God. And when you, the moment you surrender, then that word be still becomes a realization in your life. The power of the Word. Another example. If you're very impatient, I used to be very impatient. Go to the text that says, wait, I say, on the Lord. Amen? Yeah. And when you submit and surrender to the Word, and then look at it in Psalms, wait, I say on the Lord, Psalm 27. That word comes in my life and explodes with the creative power within my life. And it comes a realization in my life and transforms me. And I now have patience where once I didn't. I'm struggling with sexual temptation. I go to the word that says, flee fornication. I submit and surrender to the word, flee fornication comes in my life. A realization that creative power creates flee fornication and has victory over that sin in my life. I'm discouraged. The Bible says, be of good courage and He shall strengthen your heart. I submit to the word, be of good strength and be of good courage. And that word creates with me encouragement in my life. We are justified by faith and by faith alone. We are not justified by any works we may do, even if it's in God's strength, beloved. For it is the Word and the Word only that has the power to save us this morning. This morning, are you willing to submit to the Word only? My question is, how can you submit to the Word if you never read it? How can you experience the creative power of God in your life if you never open the book, beloved? All you can have is a human power that is worthless on this earth. We need created divine power in this world, amen? The book must be open. Don't answer the question, but how many actually opened the Word besides last Sabbath, this past week, and studied it? Why? Not in a sense for intellectual knowledge, but for the sense of surrender to the Word this morning. Are you willing to submit to the Word this morning, my question? How many this morning are willing to surrender and submit to the Word of God this morning? Let me see your hands. Amen. Beloved, this morning, brothers and sisters, I commend unto you this book, the living Word. For within this Word contains all the creative power that you will ever need to reflect the character of Christ in this earth and in the world to come.
This media was brought to you by Audioverse, a website dedicated to spreading God's Word through free sermon audio and much more. If you would like to know more about Audioverse, or if you would like to listen to more sermons, please visit www.audioverse.org.